The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Drop World. AM 600.
You beast. You savage. Come on, look like a dad for me.
Back at Stephen Pickford, the hands of Chad behind the console, and we have a special guest in studio, Vic Phillips. Welcome
Vic
to Travel
Phillips
World, everyone.
Making his triumphant return to Montreal. It's an annual tradition to have him in the studio.
His pilgrimage to the shrine.
97, 98, 99. No, he hasn't been to Lachine except for taking the train along the train
tracks. That's true.
Always great to come back to civilization after spending the year in Toronto.
And not too much going on in Markham. You came here on via rail, which is the way to travel.
But I'm into those reports of general debauchery.
Oh, general debauchery. Now they're happening in Montreal now that he's in town with us. Traveling down on Via Rail, the way to travel between Toronto and Montreal. You came down Via 1, first class, as always.
You know, that's the only way to go. But if you're traveling between Montreal and Toronto or Montreal and Ottawa, go Via. It's like 4 hours, and it's 4 hours of pleasure. The food is unbelievable. I guess you don't call them waiters, but literally they are waiters on the club car, and they're at your table or seat every 5 minutes with goodies and treats. And like coming down here, you eat off a menu, and I had a choice of lasagna, Atlantic salmon, various types of chicken, like New Orleans chicken. The food is just fantastic.
And then
they come around with a liqueur tray. Oh, Bailey's Irish Cream,
yes,
Grand
sir.
Marnier. This was preceded by four or five scotches. And then good French white and red wines. You can't beat Via.
Do they still have those chocolate,
truffles?
Chocolate? Yeah, the truffles.
Yeah.
It's like a, I don't know, cupcake, but the cup is made out of semi-sweet chocolate, and inside they have a kind of a soft filling, either.
Yeah, I gain a pound going each way on every one of these trips to Montreal, so I know it'll be 2 pound gain weight.
And of course, when you come here, part of the fun is trying out a new place for breakfast, and this morning we went to Expectations, their location on De Maisonneuve, the corner of Mountain Street.
And did they live up to your expectations?
Oh, yes.
Their juices, unbelievable. What did we have? Banana, cranberry, blueberry juice all mixed up.
Oh, that's a very delicious, very delicious fresh
and
fruit.
And omelets to die for.
Anything to do with eggs, this is the place, Expectations. I had a ham and Swiss cheese omelet and golden hash browns.
Did they offer you green eggs and ham?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Seuss. We also had country toast served in a nice little wicker basket. Comes with it to help yourself, and they can replenish it for you. Great place for breakfast.
Finest breakfasts I've ever had have been in Montreal. And that other place we went to a few years ago, where we're talking of Expectations, I shouldn't mention another one, but I enjoyed Beauty's a few years ago, too.
Oh, wasn't that good? Yeah.
Which the Globe and Mail rated as the best breakfast place in Canada.
Yep,
I put Expectations right up there.
Expectations right close downtown. You can walk to it from any major downtown hotel. There's locations all around the city, including one of their new locations down in Old Montreal, right opposite the future location of Théâtre des Deux Pierres.
So, Théâtre des Deux Pierres.
Saint-François Xavier and Saint-Jacques. So down to Aéroport de Montréal. There's a location there, too, at Dorval. So expectations for breakfast if you're out and about this weekend or any weekend or during the week. Drop by and you find interesting places. We're going to Mr. Steer for one of the legendary Steer Burgers afterwards. So
that's a great place to go.
One best hamburger in Montreal in the recent poll, Montreal Gazette. And of course, if anyone else is around, St. Catherine and Drummond, and 12:30 today, and they want to get Vic Phillips' autograph, please feel free to drop by the restaurant and and say hello, I'm sure.
Yes, but they'll have to beat down all the people in line for Chad's autograph.
Oh yes, there will be two lines, you know, one line saying Chad's autograph, one line saying Vic Phillips' autograph.
Yes, I received a paper in Toronto, and Chad's considered the best masseuse, is it, in Montreal? and the best-dressed man?
Yeah, I made the list of one of the best-dressed man, best masseur in Montreal 2 years in a row.
Well, I can't believe it. Here we are sitting in a radio studio, and I'm looking at him right now. He's wearing a tuxedo. It's unbelievable.
Well, you always got to be ready. You never know when business calls, right?
Yeah, and I can see the masseuse part. Look at those fingers. I mean, God, his little finger is 11 inches long.
No, that's his middle finger, Jack.
He only has three fingers at each end. They're like claws.
Almost cartoonish, wouldn't you say?
There's another place that has made that same list. In the Montreal Mirror, one of the best-kept secrets in Montreal, is a new addition to the roster here on Travel World, is Au Quatre Mains on Ontario Street East, Ontario east of Papineau, 522-7311, which offers waterbed massages as a introduction.
Chad's previous career working in the grocery store as a cashier, he was telling me about that, and that story is just famous, how this one woman walked up to the lineup at the front of the line, and Chad was the cashier, and she gave him one orange, and he looked at the orange and put it in the bag, and then she gave him one Kaiser bun, and he looked at it and put it in the bag, and then she gave him one banana, and he looked at it and put it in the bag, and he looked up at this lady, and he said, "Lady, you know, I can tell you're single." And she said, "How? That's unbelievable. How?" And he said, "Because you're ugly."
I was wondering where this was going.
That would be Chad. Yeah. Something about an ugly stick.
Oh, it's the ugly stick. Yeah. Beaten with an ugly stick.
It's what's inside that counts. Come on.
As soon as you get there.
Whenever you get there, when you get unwrap it, and it's like a Christmas present. Get it out of the wrapping. It's much better. Continental Airlines is celebrating its 65th anniversary. They're having a trivia contest. Now, here, we have some questions here. You have to answer the questions. Like, I bet on their website, www.continental.com, they have questions, and some of them are quite serious. Now, of course, we are always very facetious, and we know what Continental's really like, so, of course, there might be the question, which you have to get the answer correct in order to win a trip.
Yes.
It is, name the former Continental Eastern Airlines sales manager who was given the award as best salesman at Delta Airlines
for Dan Moorman.
Yeah. Or when was the last day that Continental ever had 3 days in a row of on-time performance? And I guess that would be like 1987.
Not in living memory.
No, 1934, so maybe the first day they ran on time. Ever since, they've been trying to get back on schedule.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, the fun we have.
Fun flying at Continental.
Oh, but we're talking to Manny Witt.
Ah, yes, Mr. New England.
Mr. New England. We're heading down next week to the Iowa State Fair, but sometimes that's a little too far for people to go. They can't hop in their car to get to Iowa. Well, you could, but it'll take you half a week to get there and half a week to come back, and you're there for 3 hours, and there's your 1 week vacation, right?
Yep.
But the Big E, New England's greatest state fair, is taking place at the end of September, and we'll be there end of September.
The Eastern States Exhibition, it calls. We're going to that. We're also probably going to be going to the Champlain Valley Fair, depending on how things go. And with all these fairs, Stephen, I guess you'd call us exhibitionists.
As soon as they saw Willem Backus, they said, no, there's an exhibitionist. We have to invite him to the Iowa State Fair, and we have to invite him to the Big E, New England's greatest state fair. And, of course, you can call Manny Witt at 731-4898 for all the brochures for the 2 weeks of fun that's taking place in the Springfield area. It also includes visiting the Basketball Hall of Fame and taking the tour down the Connecticut River Valley and passing by the number of different historic and scenic sites along the way in Vermont and Massachusetts. When you're in Springfield, you're only an hour and a half away from Old Storebridge Village, which if you go there, you have to have the deep dish chicken pot pie, the best I have ever tasted, Old Storebridge Village in Massachusetts.
We're going to have to try that out when we go down there. Manny said he was going to be there, and this was a remarkable thing because Mr. New England himself, one of the men who was first and foremost in promoting New England here in Canada, I would say it's like the parting of the Red Seas when he gets down there.
Oh, well, they see Manny Witt Day, the Avenue of the States of the Big E. They will be lined up 20 deep.
I want to see that museum. Manny Witt House.
Oh,
you know?
Manny Witt House. Manny's first fax machine. Mm-hmm. Picture of Manny handing out his first press kit. Mm-hmm. the Maniwit exhibit at the Big E. Of course, Maniwit will be there when we are there, and that is on the 25th of September. So if you're down there that weekend, pass by. We'll be just inside the entrance at the gazebo, broadcasting live from the Big E.
And of course, not to undo our reputation as beach bums, we will be in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire in 2 weeks. Broadcasting live from the beach.
New Hampshire Sea Coast, Hampton Beach, 1-800-GET-A-TAN. There's a good 2 months left of beautiful beach weather down on the New Hampshire Sea Coast. The flagship motor court is the place to stay down on Hampton Beach. Mike Roy and his family putting out the welcome mat. Nice quiet location, one block from the beach, in-room mini fridge and multi-channel TV. And hey, the signal comes in for WBZ, so what can be better than that?
Oh, you better believe it. Listen, we're going to get to Vic Phillips following the break.
Talking about Israel, the destination for the new millennium. But sometimes business just takes you to the far corners of Quebec, and that means calling Air Montreal. Just-in-time travel, call today, fly tomorrow. No need to reserve 2 weeks in advance or stay a Saturday night. Air Montreal saves you money by consistently offering fares 50% less than other carriers. You leave from their own terminal building on Ryan Avenue in Dorval, where parking is free, no airport improvement fee to pay. Air Montreal, 631-2111, on the internet at www.airmontreal.com.
And we'll leave you with a song dedicated to Vic and Chad. Roll it.
I'd like to see the coyote, the road runner, and I'd like to see Knievel blown to bits. I'd like to see Rex Humber lay his hands upon Body B, but I'd love to see that Dolly Parton.
CIQC Montreal.
When you shop Mulelacos, it's a feeling.
Time for fresh corn on the cob, just 89 cents a dozen. And bananas from Costa Rica are only 27 cents a pound. As well, stock up on boneless chicken breast, $2.49 a pound. And Jamex Bleach 3.6 liter size is 99 cents.
The garden of the Mediterranean supermarket, Mulelacos.
On Notre Dame in Chamonix, St. John's in Pierrefonds, O'Brien in St. Laurent, and Lafleur in LaSalle.
Don't forget your best friends when you go on vacation. Call Lanjo Kennels in Dorval today, 631-8704. West Islanders have trusted Lanjos with their pets since 1970. With an animal hospital right on the premises, pet owners can relax knowing that a veterinarian is not just on call, he's on site. And your pet will delight in Lanjo's choice of diets and experience care just like at home. Plus, each dog enjoys the freedom of his own indoor and outdoor run. Your pet deserves the very best. Lanjo's Country Setting Kennels in Dorval, 631-8704.
Friendly Dr. Phil, got it happening for you. Everything for back to school, calculator, pen, scissors and glue. You'll find it all for less at your friendly Jean Coutu.
Good grades start at Jean Coutu. This week, get a 10-pack of Buffalo HB lead pencils for only 39 cents. And Northwest backpacks in a variety of colors are only $6.49. Check out your Jean Coutu flyer for lots more low prices.
At your friendly Jean Coutu, you'll find it all for back to school. Even a friend.
While in Montreal, guests of Travel World stay at the luxurious Hotel Dufour, offering informal elegance and a vibrant sense of space in each guest room and suite. All the comforts of home and office, from beautifully styled custom-crafted furniture to kitchenette convenience. Enjoy panoramic views of the St. Lawrence and Mount Royal, then step outdoors to a multitude of shops and restaurants at your doorstep. Upscale service for the discriminating business or leisure traveler. Hotel Dufour, 1390 4th Street at St. Catherine. Telephone 938-8333.
Hi, this is Carol Hamilton from Annapolis, Maryland. Stay listening to Travel World with Stephen Pickford on CIQC Talk Radio 600.
Talk Radio 600, CIQC.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays Hail to the Chief,
welcome back. It's Stephen Pickford, the hands of Chad behind the console. Welcome back to Travel World, segment number two.
Segment two. And
we have Vic Phillips
with us. Vic Phillips is with us, our annual trip to Montreal in the studio, and he made one of the trips of a lifetime, a trip that people look forward to and plan and put down on their calendar that they have to make at least once in their lifetime, and that was to Israel back in early June. And you really enjoyed it, Vic, didn't you?
It was fantastic, and it's a country I'd love to go back and visit again in the next year or two. There were 20 of us, 20 journalists from across Canada who went on this jaunt, and they divided us into groups of four. And so we had a health and spa tour. I didn't go on that one. These people traveled to various places and had spa treatments, which Israel is famous for. Then there was a religious and archaeological group. Five journalists went on that one. I wasn't one of those. And they visited various churches and religious sites. Then there was what they call the soft adventure tour. I didn't go on that one either.
They said Bram Eisenthal. He went on soft adventure. He heard that he was going to be the only man, and the other four were women.
No jokes about saltpeter here.
No.
And these people had a great time. Yeah, they went into the desert on a jeep tour. They climbed the Masada with tremendous history there. They went floating in the Red Sea with dolphins. They did all kinds of things. They visited a Bedouin camp. No, but guess which one I went on? Food and wine.
Oh,
I love wine and I love food. And you know, Israel, it's not a country you think of when you think in terms of food and wine. But I can tell you right now, I'm not a wine connoisseur. I wasn't before this trip. But Israel's wines are fantastic.
Really?
And their food. They export, for instance, goat cheese. They're famous for goat cheese. All around the world, the finest restaurants in Paris get their cheese from Israel. You don't think of Israel as being a food country, and there's no such thing as a definite Israeli food, like French food or Chinese food. Israel's just a blend of cultures. People from all over the world live there. And so you have Polish food, Russian food, Ukrainian foods, like Eastern European foods. In fact, in Israel, if someone who says they like Oriental food, they don't mean Chinese food like we would here in Montreal. Oriental in Israel means Spanish, Italian, or Arab, as Oriental Jews are those of the Sephardic heritage, which is Spanish or Italian. Bet you didn't know that, Stephen.
No, from Morocco.
Yeah, we ate a lot of, is it pronounced hummus? Hummus? That's crushed or ground chickpea.
Hummus, isn't it?
Yeah, hummus?
Hummus.
Okay.
Okay.
And anyways, I liked it. There's not too much pork in Israel. Both the Jews and the Muslims prohibit it being served. But there are all types of kebabs with sliced lamb or beef on a stick wherever you go. So like in Montreal where you see hot dogs being sold from stands, there you buy a kebab on the street. And Israel, it's proud of its quality olive oils, its wines. And I gained 5 pounds in 5 days. It was one heck of a trip.
You sampled all those fine restaurants. You quite often think, and this is, I think, what they wanted to promote at the Israel Government Tourist Office, the variety of different attractions and events. Think of Israel initially, historical and religious attractions and sites, but there's a multidimensional nature to the destination with the food and wine, with the soft adventure, with the spa vacations.
Yeah, and you know, you see a lot of unusual things in Israel that you would never see in any other country. For instance, while driving along a six-lane super highway built through the desert, off in the distance I saw a Bedouin riding a camel in the desert while talking on a cell phone. I mean, it's just totally incongruous. And another Bedouin on a camel listening to a Walkman and swaying to the beat of the music in the desert. And, you know, Israelis are promoting tourism, especially for the millennium. But I never felt danger anywhere, though you know that it's a country which has had its troubles. Traveling along the Israeli-Jordan border, one can plainly see the barbed wire and the electric fences separating the countries. And you see the Israeli army patrols traveling back and forth. So the militia is very much in evidence, even as you're walking in the streets of Tel Aviv. But you don't feel danger. In fact, you feel safer. I felt safer there than I do walking down Yonge Street on a Saturday evening in Toronto.
Because you know there is that security presence, a very security-conscious country.
Yeah, and when you walk into the stores, they're very suspicious of any knapsack or bag that you're carrying, so they ask you to leave it at the front, which makes sense, because in case it could be a bomb. And even before you get on a plane going to Israel, we traveled with El Al, which is just one heck of a great airline. And at the Toronto International Airport, they take each one of us aside, these security people, and they interview you. One man interviews each one of you separately for about 20 minutes, and they ask you questions like, what is the purpose of your visit? Did anyone look at your bags before you came, before you dropped them off at the airport? Did you have full control of the bag? That kind of thing. And, you know, they explain to you, hey, we're doing this for your security. It's for your safety. So flying LL, I felt safer than I did on Canadian Airlines. I mean, not that I feel in danger.
No, but you know that they are looking after for that safety of their passengers and their equipment.
And of course, and while on the plane, you know that they have their armed security agents as passengers on the plane. So there are 6 or 8 of them on board the plane. And no one's going to act up on the plane when you know these people are on there. And the food on LL. Excellent.
Excellent food.
Yeah. LL hasn't been noted in the past for its service and food, but it's a great airline.
Well, they've made a concerted effort over the last 2-3 years. They changed CEOs, and a whole effort was made, first of all, in upgrading their fleet. It's one of the most modern air fleets in the world now, and to training their personnel. And they've signed an international marketing co-chair on some routes with American Airlines out of the States. A lot of effort has been made to improve their stature. They were always a good airline, but to improve their stature as a world-class airline.
You know, it's a direct flight from Toronto. There is no stopover. It's about 11 hours and 15 minutes.
Fly direct from Toronto certain days of the week. Fly direct from Montreal twice a week, year-round, Monday and Wednesday is nonstop from Montreal, 747 and
three movies
off-season
going.
767.
Yep, three full-length movies.
Well, they're free. Three movies. Say that fast.
Yeah, the same ones at other theaters. I can't remember. I was too busy talking to Israelis going and coming. I didn't really watch the movies, though I'm a movie buff. But everybody said they were all top movies playing in Toronto theaters.
That's cool.
Yeah.
A good in-flight experience and quite reasonable fares. They work with LL works with a number of tour operators and wholesalers to offer some of the most reasonable fares in the Montreal-Tel Aviv market.
Yeah. Now, so I mentioned the food was excellent throughout Israel, and so was the wine. It was world class. But the American influence is powerful throughout Israel. Near the Sea of Galilee, I had some great buffalo chicken wings and barbecue steaks. And the cook was from Pittsburgh, but he fell in love with an Israeli woman and stayed to cook his U.S. specialty for the locals. So it's interesting, you see the Bedouins, Muslims coming in and asking for buffalo chicken wings.
Yeah. That whole cultural influence, intermixture of cultures.
Oh, and they like America. People still speak of Bill Clinton's visit. And it was interesting. Now, I guess I'm not revealing anything. Israeli security told me when he arrived in Israel, he traveled with an entourage of 900 people. That's how many come into a city with the president when he's visiting. 900 people. And Hillary Clinton came on her own to visit. Her entourage was 180 people. So more than 700 less.
700.
Yeah. That's a lot of people to travel with.
1,100 people in total.
Yeah.
I bet he read that book, How to Travel with Others, without
alienating everyone.
Just some notes, you know, I took of Israel. I jotted down a few things, like Israelis speak openly of their fear of Lebanon and Syria, because they've been at war in the past. But they really like Jordan, and that surprised me. And they apparently love the late King Hussein and his American-born wife, and they felt very saddened when he passed away. Our female guide was assigned to me. Her name was Ruth, and the government assigned her to me, and she was a fascinating lady. She served 2 years in the Israeli army as part of her mandatory service. So men and women serve in the army. And she was interesting because she served in the intelligence section, I guess with the Mossad. And she didn't want to tell me stuff. She said she was sworn to secrecy.
Sworn to secrecy for life.
Yep. And one of the places I visited was the Wailing Wall. Now, that's what we've seen on television so often. You see the Orthodox Jews standing back and wailing back and forth at the Wailing Wall. And it was interesting. While there, I was approached by two men asking for money. And at the Wailing Wall, you're supposed to write a personal prayer on a sheet of paper and put it in the wall. And that's what I did. And so it's kind of an emotional moment, though I'm not religious, but I did that. Doesn't matter what religion you are. And I did that. And then these two guys pounced on me and wanted money. And fortunately, I didn't have any with me. But I saw other people who, at a sad moment, maybe they were praying for a relative who was dying of cancer, whatever. And so you're hit up by beggars at the Wailing Wall.
You have to always keep your eyes open.
Yep. I met, the Israelis are great people, and surprisingly, the nastiest person I met in Israel. You know, I take notes. The nastiest person I met was a Franciscan monk at a church in Nazareth. I met some great Franciscan monks. I chatted with them.
Young men from
Chicago, from New York, from Canada. But this was a Franciscan monk at a church in Nazareth, and he was closing the church. We just arrived at noon, and he was closing the church at noon. And I said, well, I'm a journalist. I'd like to go inside and take a look at the church. Why are you closing it now? And he said, it's none of your business. And he slammed the door shut on me.
Oh, yes.
He shut out of me
from New York City.
Yeah.
Or Hashalagim is enough.
But the difference of Israel, when I mentioned you seeing Bedouin with a camel, then I visited a 4,000-year-old city, Tiberias, and 4,000 years old with all these old buildings, but you can hear the throb of disco music until the wee hours all night long. And at midnight, you can take a stroll through a huge open-air marketplace selling souvenirs, clothing, music. So it's like a New York. The country is like New York in one way, and yet it's a desert in another.
Well, you spoke with a lady who had was making kosher wine. We'll be hearing your interview with her. In Montreal, time to start thinking about lunch, time to start thinking about Pizza Donini. 31 locations in Greater Montreal, just one number to remember, 383-6000. Real great pizza and a whole lot more, piping hot oven fresh at your door in 30 minutes or less. Pizza Donini, 383-6000.
Chad, roll it.
VIQC Montreal. Via Rail is proud to be the official ground transportation carrier for Travel World's media correspondents. Business taking you to Toronto but tired of battling traffic on the 401, the confusion of Pearson Airport and high airfares? Next time, arrive refreshed and relaxed. Pamper yourself with Via One first-class service from downtown to downtown. A hot meal served at your seat, full stretch-out comfort that allows you to spend productive work time, not lose time en route. Via One, the way Montreal-Toronto travel was meant to be, from Via Rail, Canada's passenger train network.
From around the world to Île Notre Dame, it's the tastiest outing of the summer. Bring your heartiest appetite to the 8th annual Les Fêtes Gourmandes, August 7th through 22nd, and enjoy. Over 30 countries are represented in this world tour taste sensation, a veritable feast of over 500 dishes, succulent desserts, exotic beverages, plus singing, dancing, and great activities for the kids. Eat, drink, and be merry at Les Fêtes Gourmandes, a culinary celebration August 7th to 22nd on Île Notre Dame, in collaboration with the Government of Canada, Molson Dry, and AMC. 600.
When is a deli more than a deli? When it's Cam Sandwich Deli, unique in Montreal. Cam Sandwich Deli in LaSalle makes a marvelous meal out of sandwiches, starting with fresh out-of-the-oven bread, fillings hot or cold like roast beef, veal or turkey, Italian sausage, steak or chicken cutlet, topped with their own incredible homemade hot pepper sauce. Served with salad and home fries. Sit down and enjoy lunch or dinner at Cam Sandwich Deli. You'll love it. Meals also include your favorites like lasagna. Cam Sandwich Deli, $1,708 LaSalle. Eat hearty.
Hi, this is Cynthia Photo from KCCI-TV in Des Moines, Iowa. Happy to be back on the air in Montreal again with Stephen Pickford and Travel World on AM 600 CIQC.
CIQC. Baby, tell me, does she love you like the way I love you? Does she stimulate you, attract and captivate you? Tell me, does she miss you? Existing just to kiss you, like the way I do.
Like the way I do. Willem Backus, Stephen Pickford, the hands of Chad behind the console, special guest Vic Phillips in studio. Welcome back to Travel World, talking about Vic's visit to Israel.
The destination for the new millennium. People looking for a distinctive place to go, and a special year to do it in. Year 2000 is the year to visit Israel for the history, but not just the history. We were talking about the food, the wine, the tourism, the eco adventure, the spa vacations, a whole diversity of visits. If somebody's been to Israel before, they can go again and see something different each time.
One of the most interesting places I did visit in Israel is the Golan Heights, which Israel will have to probably give back, according to their Prime Minister Barak, will have to give back to Syria in the not-too-distant future. But while there, I visited the Golan Heights Winery, and Israel's wine is really good. But they were talking to me about kosher wine, and not being Jewish, I know very little about kosher wine. So the lady who runs the winery is from Scotland. She has a beautiful, beautiful Scottish accent, a Scottish Jew from Ireland, or from Scotland. And she came to Israel on a visit. She was a wine expert back in Scotland, came to Israel on a visit, fell in love with the country, and now is a wine expert in Israel. And she explained to us what kosher wine is all about.
In order for the wine to get this certificate of kashrut, as we say, for the wine to be regarded as kosher, only people, religious, Orthodox Jewish people who keep the Sabbath can be in direct contact with the wine while it's being produced. And this makes the wine, so it's not really affecting the quality of the wine. Many kosher wines on the market are what's called mevushal. Mevushal in Hebrew means to cook, technically speaking, to pasteurize the wine. This makes the wine, you could say, I suppose, it makes life easier for kosher wine companies. Because if an ultra-Orthodox Jew is in a restaurant or he's sitting on an airplane, he wants to drink kosher wine. If somebody opens the sealed bottle and pours him the wine who is not Orthodox, this means for this client that the wine will no longer be kosher because somebody religious has not been in contact with the wine. If the wine has been pasteurized, or mevushal as we call it, the wine is technically speaking dead. So it doesn't really matter who opens and pours the wine. So it makes life easier for companies who want to serve their kosher wine on an airplane or in a restaurant. They don't have to employ Orthodox Jewish people to open the wine. We decided in this winery the policy is that our wines will be kosher. Most of our wines are not pasteurized. There are about two of our wines which are mevushal for a certain request to certain clients in the United States who want to serve our wines at maybe a celebration and they want pasteurized wine. But our wine is mostly...
Just changing the topic, in that Golan Heights area, there's still a lot of danger for some of the militia in Israel, and especially for the young people, men and women who serve in the army. Recently, a female soldier was raped and murdered on her way home from her base in that area. And what it is, it's terrorists who dress up as Orthodox Jews, and they offer these Israeli soldiers a lift home, and they get in the car, and then they suddenly realize these are not Orthodox Jews, they're terrorists, and they're killed. So that still goes on in Israel, too.
Mm-hmm. I have to really, really be careful. Not something to something to think about.
So you had a good time when you went there.
I want to go back. So many places I didn't see. I didn't see Eilat, which is a beautiful seaside resort. Never saw it. I never climbed the Masada, which has so much history. I really want to go back.
Well, I think that's, you know, people go the first time and they try to jam so much into, maybe they have a week, they jam everything in, and then they say, oh, there's so much more to see there.
You know, I've been to almost every country in the world in all my years. I've traveled back and forth, crisscrossed the globe, but I would have to say Israel is probably the most fascinating country I've been in, and I developed an affinity with the people. I really, really like Israelis. They're nice, nice people.
Great places to stay while you're there, too. These are not run-down inns. These are world-class hotels.
I stayed at the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, which is like a five-star hotel, and not everyone can stay there, but I was a guest. And this hotel would compare with the number one hotel in the world each year is chosen in Bangkok, Thailand, which I've also stayed at, called the Oriental Hotel. And then the Shangri-La in Singapore is a great hotel, and the Peninsula in Hong Kong. I did stories as a journalist out of all these places and stayed at all of them. But the King David rates right up there with the best hotels in the world.
Now, that's one thing you hear as well, that they're building a number of new hotel properties. a number of the U.S. chains have expanded over the past few years. Best Western and Radisson, Howard Johnson, Sheraton, they're all represented now in Israel. So you don't have to look far to find world-class hotels and the names that you are familiar with from North America. And prices are reasonable. You have to shop around, like anything else, if you just take the first rate. But the average rate in many of these cities for a 3.5, 4-star hotel, you can get it for between 135 and 155 U.S., which compares very favorably with major metropolitan centers in the United States for the same type of accommodations.
Yeah, but you know, you always have to be realistic. And on this show, like one of the things I mentioned, Israelis are looking for more tourists to visit their country, but they're really concerned next year, millennium year, about possible religious fanatics showing up in the country, the year of the millennium. And we know what's happened in the United States, the various bombings from religious cult groups.
The cult groups may all congregate there, so that could be a concern in that they think Israel would be the center. They would go back to
the birthplace
of Jesus Christ, and this would be at the year 2000
that the
world will disappear. And
birthplace Bethlehem.
And they will, the world will disappear.
So the Israelis are gearing themselves by building more hotels, more rooms, more restaurants, but they're also gearing up in terms of security.
Right. You have to be very security conscious. It only takes one fanatic to go into a crowd and wreak havoc.
You're telling me.
So we have, we're going to be getting to Anne Martin shortly. She's the past president of the Travel Media Association of Canada, and she is hosted and produced internationally syndicated television travel show broadcast on Vision TV and US, UK, Europe, Israel, Australia, including a Discovery Network, a new weekly show starting in the fall on Prime TV. So Anne Martin joins us now, and she spent 10 days in Israel around this past springtime as well. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
You had a great time, I hear it.
Well, I had a very interesting time.
Oh? What was the most interesting aspect of your trip?
Well, I have to tell you that, first of all, I was invited to go to Israel with a group of leaders. It was a leaders' conference, and the leaders were all leaders of the church and all different churches. And I have to confess that I'm not a particularly religious person, so it was quite an experience going with all these people who knew the Bible inside out. And everywhere we traveled, they would start debating on different aspects of the Bible and whether this could be true and was this the place or was it not. And it was absolutely fascinating. I'd always sort of viewed the Bible as a bit of a history book, but it came alive for me purely through all these people that were traveling with me. And they were Baptists and priests and monks and nuns and all those different organizations that have sprung up in the United States for men that wish to pray together. So it was quite a fascinating time. And also a lot of them were having impromptu services as we started to travel around the country. So, for example, if we were in the Garden of Gethsemane, you would suddenly find a group together and they'd be holding a service. So I found it really very fascinating to see that side of it. I had sort of gone more from a typical tourist standpoint, but here was the Bible unfolding before me.
You get that theological lesson on site, whether you wanted to or not, but yeah. it does make it more personal, more up close to actually see a place that you may think was only fictional or existed thousands of years ago, and was it real, and what did it look like, and what does it look like today?
Exactly. And I mean, there are so many changes, but one of the things I must just tell you that I thought was kind of amusing was that when I came back, I thought that I'd seen the film and now I should read the book again.
Well, I encouraged you to pick it up and learn a bit more. What did you do for the other days? You had the theological aspect of it. But
Well, one of my personal loves, I adore archaeology. I'm very much an amateur archaeologist. I don't profess to be very professional at it, but I do enjoy going and sort of digging into history. And so I was quite interested to go to Acco. And I don't know if you're familiar with the city, but it's often referred to as Acre. The British apparently couldn't pronounce Acco for some reason, so that's why they called it.
They anglicized it.
That's right. And It has an incredible history. We were very privileged to go down into the underground Crusader city. Now, having said we were privileged, it is in fact open to the public, but we were privileged to go down and see where they're actually excavating at the moment. And they had just discovered the toilets. And that may not sound a particularly interesting thing, but it is, because they had found 60 seats. It accommodated 60 people. It was the public latrines, and it was two-tiered.
60 people in a latrine?
Yes, can you imagine?
They sort of the bottom tier, I guess.
They all had individual little seats and cubicles, much like the Roman seating, you know, the stones where they had the little holes, and then whatever you did went sort of down into the ground, and there was a sort of a horizontal but slightly inclining shaft, which then led to a sort of a main pipe going down, and that in turn led to a main corridor. And this is what makes it all intriguing, because every Crusader city had an escape route, and they'd found the escape route a few years ago. And this is where the knights would have escaped if they were under attack and if it looked as if capture was imminent, and they would then be able to escape to their ships. But now the concern is, or not the concern, but now they're thinking they may have to rewrite history again, because it looks as if the latrines may in fact have been this underground corridor that they discovered, and so there may still be yet another underground escape route yet to be covered. But one of the things that's really interesting about this is that this city has lain underground for, something like 400 or 500 years, and it was totally buried, and it wasn't until they started, they knew it was there, but they thought that it was just a complete mass of ruins. And it wasn't until they started to excavate and they removed 100,000 tons of sand and soil and debris. And as they got down and further underneath, the modern-day city of Akko still sits on the top. And this was the marvel of the whole archaeological feat, was that they actually had to dig down while making sure that they didn't undermine the structure of the ground on which modern-day Akko sits. So all of this underground work is going on. They're removing all the stones, and lo and behold, they find the knight's hall is completely intact, and it has got the most marvelous arches and rooms where they kept the storage of the grains and the stables, and they found this marvelous, wonderful room where they would have entertained Richard the Lionheart and all the kings of France.
And we have to take a break. Can you hold that thought?
And we'll continue with the fascinating discovery of history and archaeology in Israel when we return on Travel World.
Travel World will continue.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
Go choose some razor blades.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
Kind of look like a couple of red lobsters to me.
Rocking me, baby.
CIQC Montreal.
Before heading off on your next trip, head off to Jet Setter. Jet Setter is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers, miniature binoculars, travel irons, guidebooks, and maps. Plus converters and adapters for all your electrical needs, including computers. What's more, you'll find every imaginable kind of rolling luggage, including duffel bags, knapsacks, and travel packs from such name brands as Tumi, Travel Pro, Skyway, Lusport Sack, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Setter, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save with Jet Setter, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Setter, Montreal's travel accessory center, 66 Laurier West between Clark and St. Urbain. Telephone 271-5058.
When it comes to your favorite brand names and looking your very best, Cavendish Mall is where to shop at this season. Quality selection and styles you'll love from Ralph's, Petit Mac, Delavanti, Global Girl, Zara, Swell, and Elizabeth Egger. Cavendish Mall, where you'll find a unique choice for all your necessities from Kohl's, J&R Kosher, Le Coup, Stokes, Hallmark, Canadian Tire, Maxi's, Pharmaprix, and Kaplan Duval 2000. Huge playground, restaurants, cinemas, and stores. Cavendish Mall in Côte Saint-Luc.
Are you tired of being held hostage to the airline's demands to stay over a Saturday night and reserve 2 weeks in advance just to get a reasonable airfare? Fed up with paying $1,000 or more on your business trips to the United States? Now there's an answer to every business traveler's dream with Zagary Travels USA on business fares to over 50 key business centers throughout America. Reserve up to 3 days in advance, stay just 2 days, not requiring a Saturday, and count the savings. $395 plus taxes to Los Angeles, for instance, compared to over $2,000 plus taxes normally applicable without that obtrusive Saturday night stayover. You don't sacrifice comfort or convenience either, flying with one of America's top five fly carriers with full in-flight service, seat selection, and frequent flyer mileage. Call a corporate travel specialist at Zagley Travel in Dollar today, 626-3132, to find out how you can shave your travel budget by up to 75%. Your next business trip to the USA should begin with a call to Zagley, 626-3132.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am Monsieur Renov. Concerning your home, did you know that I can change all your windows and doors with the best quality merchandise and at the best prices? Furthermore, you will start paying only in 1 year. I repeat, you will start paying only in 1 year with no interest for the best windows and doors, guaranteed for 10 years and at the best price. Call us now.
Monsieur Renov. 274-1159. 274-1159.
This is Sharon Delaney at WKMG Channel 6 in Orlando, Florida. Keep listening for my exclusive Florida reports on Travel World with Stephen Pickford on CIQC.
CIQC. Everybody's working for the weekend.
Good weekend once again. Willem back is Stephen Pickford, the hands of Chad behind the console. Welcome back to Travel World, final segment. It's Vic Phillips in studio. We got special guest Ann Martin online, further discussing her trip to Israel.
Her trip to Israel and the archaeological discovery of the thousand-year-old toilets.
Well, I wouldn't suggest that you try using them.
I'm sure some people have.
Well, first thing entered my mind.
But, you know, honestly, when you consider that this whole city was actually the Crusader capital of the world, and it's it goes back obviously 1,000 years, and I don't know if you remember seeing the film Exodus, but in the film you see the Israeli prisoners marching around the compound. They were allowed out into the compound for their daily exercise, and you see them walking round and round this quite massive compound. Well, if you imagine that 30 feet below that, actually probably a bit more like 40 feet, is an enormous courtyard with a wonderful flowing staircase that goes down, and it's all intact, and they've removed that whole courtyard, and so now the prison cells literally hang over the lip of this great entrance that would have been to the major part of the Knight's Castle.
The only prison probably in the world with an interesting interior view.
Absolutely.
You can ask for a courtyard view room.
And then you go down a few more feet and you come to those public latrines.
Now, you've visited other archaeological sites as well. Yes. In Israel over time.
Yes. There was another one that actually boggles the mind because it's on the way from the Sea of Galilee. And if you drive along by the River Jordan going up towards Qumran and the Dead Sea area, on your immediate right, you pass a pretty innocuous-looking place called Bet Shean. And you turn into the right, and there's a little interpretive center, and you park your car, and you can't see anything. And then you walk through the gate, and you walk across only a few feet, and you look down. And it is amazing. It is an enormous Roman city. And if you can imagine... I'm trying to think of something comparable, but maybe Mont-Tremblant. If you were standing on the top of Mont-Tremblant and looking across, that would be sort of the level of the land.
Okay.
And now you're sort of, now if you look down at the bottom of the mountain, that's what they've dug down to. And here are these marvelous pillars that they've unearthed and wonderful mosaic bath floors, you know, where they used to have all these wonderful... what were they called now? Hypocausts, you know, where they used to heat the water under the ground for the steam baths and things where they used to have.
Right.
And it's like a great big round pie, and imagine that they've only cut out about maybe 1/8 of this pie. And yet that 1/8 is staggering, absolutely staggering in its immensity and the amount of things that they've unearthed. So I think this is going, I think Akko and Bet Shean are going to be two of the major archaeological sites for people to go and visit in the next, I'm going to say 20 years, because the excavations are going to be ongoing. And what makes it really exciting about both of these places is that each time you visit, you'll find something new, so you'll have a real personal sense of discovery. And the public's allowed to see what's going on. That's even nicer. So often with archaeological sites, you kind of have to stand on the perimeter and you can't get really close to it.
You stand far afield and you might get as close as being able to see them with binoculars.
That's right.
But
yes. Or you're hidden behind sort of little strung up fences and things, you know, and you really can't get a good feel and you can't take good pictures. This was just absolutely amazing. Talking about pictures, by the way, take plenty of film. It's terribly expensive in Israel. Extremely expensive. And you'll go through film like you would drink water.
You'll want to see, take memories, take those photos,
yes.
Bring back the memories.
Absolutely.
Once in a lifetime trip. The artifacts that they uncover at these archaeological sites, where are they displayed? Are they displayed in museums near the site, or are they
yes,
transported?
Some of them are, but some of them have been taken to Jerusalem, to the museum there, where they're displayed. And the absolutely magnificent pieces of pottery they've found. Some of the interesting things about this is that it has confirmed all of the trading routes that they believed were taking place at the time, and now they've absolute proof of it, so that they know that they were trading with China, for example. And then you've got these little coins and things that they've also found. Cannonballs, you know, you've got piles and piles of cannonballs, and all of the artifacts of war. And then, of course, you've got the urns and the typical kind of pieces of pottery that you would expect to find.
You can trace the trade routes and as well the
yes.
the years of occupation, the different countries, different forces that have occupied or attempted to occupy that part of the world.
Absolutely. And in fact, in that Shan, I'm trying to think how many thousands of years. I know it contains a tell where they say the ruins of 20 civilizations are buried. And I think it goes back something like 7,000 years. So you've got Phoenicians, Romans, you've got absolutely everything there. And the tell, which is the central point, so imagine that sort of central point of Mont Tremblant was still standing, but they'd cut out everything else around it. That is the tell, and inside there, they're digging down and down, and they're just so excited by the things that they may find there. It just blows my mind, you know.
They never know what the next shovelful will bring.
No. And, of course, as they do, they start finding more things that, again, confirm the Christ story.
Yeah, because you always wonder how much of a particular story is hearsay or folklore, and by actually unearthing, it's almost like proving documentation.
That's right.
That what was said or what was passed along had a basis, and here's the historical proof for it.
Well, you know when Jesus preached to the multitude at the Mount of Beatitudes?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to this very lovely church that they've built there, which incidentally is run by nuns, but if you go there and stand where they say he would have stood, you are actually in an area that is surrounded by, I shouldn't say surrounded, it's on the Sea of Galilee, but behind you there's like a saucer of mountains. I don't know how else to describe it. And so the acoustics actually would permit you to stand and speak to a mass of people gathered on the shore of the Sea of Galilee.
So something truly interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds like you had a great time, Anne Martin.
I really did. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I have to tell you something else, in fairness, too. I was very concerned at going to Israel because people talk about the fighting and the threat of problems and bombs and all sorts of different things. And just as I was about to go, there was another little outbreak somewhere, and of course my mother was instantly on the phone, are you sure you ought to go, dear? You know, can't you put it off? And I went, and there was absolutely no trouble at all. And I know other people that have gone, and it seems sometimes that there's a deliberate almost stirring up of press activity to put people off going.
That it builds up it's the media hype,
it's
like lots of things.
Media hype, and it builds up a little bit of intimidation and concern that maybe it's not safe, but really it was very safe.
Yeah, just like Vic said.
Yeah, you know, Anne, and it's one of the places in the world where I not only want to return to, it's a place where I could easily live in.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love with the country and the people.
The people,
and felt,
yes.
And felt at home there.
Yeah. Well, you know what I loved, going back to Acre again, was the fact that you saw Jews and Muslims. I mean, you saw all these different religious groups living completely in harmony with each other. And that was the other thing when I was traveling with the leaders' conference. Here were all these people of different nationalities that, you know, were there and that we were meeting up. And there was a tremendous spirit that this is a place where peace could start from.
And they share cultures and heritage and history from a number of people.
Yes.
All in one destination.
That's
Ann Martin.
Right. And it's a tiny destination, and there's another fact. It's so small that you think, oh, I could do Israel in a couple of weeks. Forget it. You can only do one.
That would probably be Chad. And thanks for joining us here on Travel World. Please come back another time.
Absolutely. Be delighted to. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Thank you. And the number to call for Israel Government Tourist Office is 1-888-77-ISRAEL. Toll free 888-77-ISRAEL. Website www.goisrael.com for all the information on archaeological sites and Echo Adventure and spas and food and wine. Another week comes to a close. We talked to Ann Martin. We had Vic Phillips here in studio. And next week we'll be live from that American tradition, the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines, with none other than that favorite of Travel World, favorite of Montrealers for 20 years ago, Cynthia Fodor from KCCI News Channel 8 Des Moines. And the week after, the New Hampshire Seacoast in Hampton Beach. So,
tell you about the Def Leppard concert. Yeah, we'll
so shalom, Willem, and shalom.
Yeah, thank you.
Join us again
next Saturday. And thanks for coming back to Montreal to visit us, Vic. We'll look forward to your next visit.
Well, as always, next Saturday, 11 noon for Travel World, here on AM 600 CIQC.
You told me lies, but I can't stand to say goodbye. Mama, I'm coming home. It's your turn.